Hey, what's up, everybody? Hope you are doing well. Very excited today to sit down and chat with my good friend, Brianna Collins. Brianna is local here to Kansas City, and she is an actress. She's a dancer, choreographer, and just all things creativity. And she spoke at our Legacy Conference, which was just a couple of weeks ago. Quick note on that. It was an amazing 3 days together. I'll be sharing more about it here in the coming weeks, but still processing kind of all that went on. Some of the sessions, specifically Joshua Heath Scott, who owns and founded JHS Pedals. His message was amazing. We are working on releasing that to you guys, hopefully on YouTube shortly, but it was an amazing time. We're already in the works to plan for Legacy 24. That sounds pretty good to me. Very, very excited about that. But very, very excited today to sit down with Brianna. So we are here with Brianna Collins, who has been a friend of mine for a couple of years here. And she is the artistic director of a local dance studio slash theater slash
music. Yep. We do piano, voice, theater, all that.
Lots of stuff. And she recently spoke and then also danced at the Legacy Conference that we held here in Kansas City. And it was an amazing, amazing time. So I wanted to have her on here. And you might be listening to this right now and be like, oh, I'm not a dancer, and just, you know, want to press stop. But I want to encourage you not to do that, because Bri has a lot of amazing things to share. Yes, it might be applied to dancers, but really for creatives of all types, I think are really going to be encouraged by a lot of what she shares today. So let's just kind of start. Just give us a bit of your history as a dancer.
Yeah, so I started in the musical theater world, and then just growing up around it, my mom was directing all these shows and all the late nights, and just really fell in love with performance in general. And when I was 7, I took my first ballet class, loved it. Danced until I was about 12, and then got really just burnt out and bored and discouraged, and then went to go see this professional company perform, which I'm now performing with also, and just got this fresh wave of inspiration and kind of felt the Lord say, you know, this is what I have for you, and don't lose that passion, and kept dancing through college, joined a company, and then my role at Greenleaf, my family studio, just kind of morphed into more leadership and getting to kind of use that as an avenue for my own creative endeavors. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's just been a whirlwind, and I've loved every second. Yeah. Most of the seconds.
Yeah. That's amazing. And so I have a bunch of questions kind of just off of what you just shared there. But first, mm-hmm. So you said it's a family company. So your mom, mm-hmm. did she found?
She founded Greenleaf when I was 9 months old.
Wow.
And that same year, my grandma came to live with us. And she really just started it because of my older sister's passion for theater. She just wanted to do shows. And my mom was like, well, you know, my parents were self-employed. We're going to have to do it ourselves. Mm. And so they just ended up getting a group of friends together, started putting on these shows. My mom already taught piano out of our home. So it started as just music and theater, and then morphed, and we now have 3 locations across the Kansas City area. Wow. So it's been a wild ride.
Roughly how many kids? Is it kids primarily, or like?
Yeah, so we've had ages 3 to 30s and beyond. I would say our primary group is like 3 to 18. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to say about 3 to 400.
Wow,
I would not
amazing.
Quote me on that, but yeah,
that's awesome.
Around somewhere in that ballpark.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So something you shared when you were kind of giving your story there, around the age of 12, you kind of started to get burnout.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of express a little bit of why that started to happen for you.
Yeah. So around that age, I started just kind of battling anxiety and depression, which I think is common at that age. You know, you've got a lot of changes going on. You're kind of discovering who you are separately from your family or your friends, and starting to have these moments where your previous relationship with the Lord begins to need to go deeper in order for you to grow. Mm. And so, you know, obviously dance is very physical. You're looking at yourself in a mirror for hours a day, nitpicking and analyzing and trying to make it more perfect. And if that is not infused with a calling or a passion for what you're doing, it's kind of game over because that's not something that a human can sustain on their own in a healthy way.
Yeah.
And I truly believe that if the Lord's not doing it with you, it's not going to go well for you in the arts, because it's just so demanding. So yeah, I just experienced this feeling of like, it's not good enough. I was a extreme perfectionist too. Mm. So, you know, if I don't like what I'm doing, then I'm not going to do it anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
So I really just needed the Lord to speak to me that it's important even when it's not perfect.
Yeah.
It's still significant.
And then, so what did that look like? Was it like a couple months later, a couple years later when he did speak, or was it like a slow gradual process?
Yeah, I would say it was a slow process of coming out of it, but I can pinpoint probably 3 to 5 very significant moments of being on the brink of giving up on various things and in various areas. And the Lord just really speaking in a clear voice. Like one of the things he said to me when I was about 15, which is one of the most significant experiences I've ever had, was if you don't get out of your head and if you don't stop being all about yourself, I can't use you. And I can't send you to these places that I have for you. I can't give you the dreams that I have for you.
Is this like a journal moment or is this like an internal audible? Like what?
It was an internal audible.
Internal audible.
Yeah,
okay.
But very clear and very much not my own thoughts.
Were you driving or were you like sitting praying?
I was in my room.
Okay.
Angry.
Angry. Okay.
I came home just very frustrated with myself and just sort of this false sense of humility. But was actually self-deprecation and just like, you know, I hate myself. I can't do anything right. I don't, you know, just like really quietly yelling at God and asking all these questions. And there's a ton of factors that went into that. But yeah, it was just this moment where he was like, you need to stop. You have to get serious about me and about others before you can move on from this. Because you can get wrapped up in like, well, I'm not selfish because I don't like myself. So how can I be selfish or self-absorbed?
Wow.
Because, you know, you think of people who are like, I'm amazing, I'm the best. And that's what we view as self-absorbed.
Right.
But you can be just as fixated on yourself and your feelings and, you know, what's going on with you to the point that you're not seeing anybody else in a negative way.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be that you're proud of yourself.
Yeah.
You can be hard on yourself and that's also self-absorption.
Yeah.
So that was a clear moment, probably the most significant one of just like refixing my eyes. And that's been a journey and like a daily choice. But it was also a very clear turning point.
Yeah,
for sure.
I love that. And such a powerful reality for creatives, but really for anyone. A good friend of mine named Janie talks about how there's breakthrough and then there's walkthrough.
Yes.
And we often pray for breakthrough. God quickly, completely change this circumstance and break in my life. But so many times God is in it for the walkthrough.
Yes, absolutely.
He's like, I want to, you know, break into your situation, whether it be what you experienced or, you know, whatever variety of things that people who are listening to this right now are experiencing, you know, could it be that the Lord is asking you, hey, I actually want to walk through this with you, draw you closer to myself. So, and it sounds like that was kind of that situation for you. It wasn't like a quick prayer or one time at the altar where the Lord just, you know, broke in. It was like this, no, Brie, I want to walk through this with you.
Absolutely. It was over many years. And still to this day, I think that Satan tends to tempt us in the same ways over and over because we have a clear character and personality that God's given to us. And with that comes the same struggles repetitively.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it has to be continuous surrender. And we can totally get in the mindset of, I'm going to fix it now. And then next month, I'm going to be in a totally different place. And and that can happen. And it does happen often.
Yep.
But it's important to like never get to a point of being finished. Like we're being made new is what the Bible says. It's continuous until the end when we see him and we're made perfect only in that moment. So it takes continual reliance and he works us through it. And the exciting thing is when you can struggle in a different way with the same topic, because you see like, okay, I'm not handling this the same as I was before. And that's when you see growth,
that's
you
growth.
Know?
Yeah, totally,
even if it's the same, you can be like, oh man, I'm like dealing with this same feeling or this same thought again, but I'm being, you know, aware of it.
Yeah.
I'm going straight to prayer so much more quickly than
I
would have. And that's where you see the Lord's work.
Yeah, the fruit of the Spirit. And I've often asked gray-haired gentlemen, because I want to learn and be on the right path, right? And so if I see someone with gray hair who's older, I'll ask them this question. Hey, Galatians says, Galatians 5:16, if you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. How's that going for you? 75-year-old person, right?
Yeah.
And they say something very similar. They say, well, you know, I may have a thought, you know, whatever, but as I've been sanctified and drawn closer to Jesus, I'm a lot quicker on the draw.
Yes.
You know, to not let myself be... Whereas a teenager or 20-something or even in your 30s, you're like, oh my God, I'm a horrible person and, you know, God probably hates me or whatever.
Right.
But is that's just that process of drawing closer to Him. So I love that. And so now you dance full time, yes?
Well, I'm in the arts full time.
In the arts full time.
So yeah, so day in the life is about 9 to noon. I dance with Sterling Dance Theater. We've got class and rehearsal, always working on a show. And then my afternoons and evenings are spent either teaching dance or creating new projects or, you know, office management details,
yeah,
costume ordering, music selection, yeah, all that jazz.
So yeah, Let's talk about project creation for a second.
Yeah.
So you've written, choreographed before, yeah?
Yeah, I have, yep.
And is that like something you see yourself doing more of like in the future?
I would love to. One of my huge passions is creating dance productions that either tell a story or communicate a clear message. Oftentimes, as being a dance teacher, you choreograph like one piece for a class that's at a certain level, and that's great too, and I love it. But I've created a couple dance shows that are storytelling, and that's a huge part of my passion.
What's one of them?
Yeah, so one of them is Emmanuel, which uses some of your music, as you know. That's our annual dance production, and it tells the Christmas story through the lens of Isaiah and Jeremiah's prophecies. So it's sort of infused. It's more of an Advent show than a Christmas show, I would say. Yeah. It's that expectation of the Lord's coming.
Very well done.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. So we just try to infuse the whole Bible experience, everything that's said about the coming of Jesus, not just the nativity story in and of itself. Yeah.
So just talk to dancers here for a second. What would you say is, I know we've talked a little about this because you have danced in several of the musicals that I've written, and I learned some things even hearing from you in different ones about here's what dancers struggle with, or here's how dancers are treated if they're, you know, a dancer in a full-on musical, for example, and it's not just a dance show. So what are a couple of things that you would share with dancers who might be, they're dancing at their church, or they have a passion to do this, or they're a young person who wants to do it? What's like the top one or two things if you could tell a 12-year-old or 15-year-old person, hey, do this or be encouraged by this?
Yeah. Okay. Hi, dancers. One of the biggest things I would say is focus as soon as it's revealed to you what to focus on. In the dance world, it's so vast and it's easy to have a passion for teaching and choreography and directing and, you know, all these different avenues you can go. And I would encourage you to spend a lot of time just intentionally thinking about what of those things are your priority. And they can still all be a part of your life, but when you're able to hone in on, okay, what is my calling within the dance world, if you know you're called to dance, you're able to just get a lot less, I guess, I think burnout is the word, because you are focusing on your specific gifts and developing those. And second thing I would say, I mean, comparison is a thief. Mm-hmm. It destroys. And those two go hand in hand. When you find your avenue, there's no reason to compare. Mm-hmm. If you feel confident that you are doing what types of dance activities best suit your strengths, then you should feel confident. You should be able to go in and be like, yes, I am in the right place. Yes, I am here because I'm good at it, because I've worked for it. Mm-hmm. And just when you feel yourself being compared by someone else, or when you feel yourself doing the comparing, the best cure for it is to go to the person who you're comparing yourself to and encourage them. Go to that person that's like, oh man, she's got, you know, the extension that I want. He's jumping 6 feet taller than me, you know. Go to them and say, hey, your extensions are amazing. Like, I just love watching you do that. And that simple act completely shifts your relationship with that person, even in your own heart. Even if they don't see it, you've shifted yourself to a place of being an encourager, not being a tear downer.
Is that why you've encouraged me in my dance moves through the years?
Yeah, Justin has fire dance moves for the listeners.
For
if
the
you
record.
Ever see him in public, please ask him to bust a move. He'll love it.
Yeah. For the record, I do not dance at all. Just let the record state, I do not dance. I'm a horrible dancer.
It's a little light sarcasm in there.
But in that though, so again, not being a dancer, so I'm thinking of like musicians and singers right now, and with coaching and, you know, leading worship teams for years.
Yeah.
Something we've talked about is musicians, drummers, bass, guitar, whatever, they have an instrument to hide behind. It's in their hands. They're playing strings. They're playing, you know, drums, whatever it is. And so it can be easy to distance yourself even by like one step because you're not moving your body.
Right.
Or like with a singer, as, you know, talking to a lot of singers throughout the years, there's no instrument. There's a microphone which projects what's coming out of you as a singer. So it's like you're a lot more exposed as a singer compared to musicians. Like they're not singing, they're like playing strings, whatever. So with dancers, and again, I am not one, but I would imagine it's even more intense than a singer because like every limb, you're like fully just exposing yourself to the rhythms of this music and you're becoming one with the music and, you know, all the different things. I've never considered that before.
Yeah, it's very vulnerable.
Yeah.
It's very just and like nothing
you said, watching
to hide
yourself
behind.
In a mirror, like that's like to rehearse. That's intense.
Yeah,
like,
it is. It is. And it can totally mess with you. That's why I'm like, if you're going to be a dancer, your first and foremost priority has to be your relationship with the Lord. And you also have to like other things about yourself that are separate from dance because it's just, it is extremely vulnerable. You're being watched by people and all you're doing is moving your body and it has to be correct. Like that's a really intense, scary feeling, especially if you tend towards perfectionism, which a lot of dancers do, which is sort of the environment. Sort of causes that, or it draws people who are already that way, one or the other. But yeah, it is. It's very scary unless you're doing it as worship.
So on that then, how do you, because again, worship leaders who are listening, musicians, whatever, it's like you're playing a Chris Tomlin cover or an Elevation cover or your own song about Jesus or the cross or whatever. So again, I'm not a dancer, so I'm thinking from what I know, it would seem to me that it's easier to connect with the Lord as a musician or a singer, but I could be wrong. How does a dancer, how do you, I guess, connect with the Lord? So you're focusing on these moves while you're dancing. How do you, are you like whispering, communing with him, Holy Spirit? Like give me kind of your brain on that.
So it's interesting that you ask, because that's what my whole discussion at Legacy referred to.
Okay.
So I had a teacher growing up who would say like every combination I do is a prayer, and she would set an intention before she ever started the combination. So we start every class with pliés, which is just like, you know, limbering up the legs, as you know, Justin.
Absolutely.
Plié. Combo. Yeah, yes. Of course. means to bend in French. So there's this idea of she would be like, okay, I'm asking the Lord to like make my heart supple as I do these pliés and as I warm up my body. And there's so much spirituality in a dance room. It's just your soul has to be involved in it for better or worse. We're, you know, we're holistic beings. So our body and our mind and our soul are all interconnected, and it's pretty impossible to separate them all until death. And so, yeah, it's really actually pretty natural to associate your prayers or your intentions or communication with the Lord. We watch children, and oftentimes their reaction to a beautiful place or beautiful music or just happiness is dance. They just want to move. And I think that the Lord loves it when we're childlike. And so when we connect, we connect our spirits to our movement. It can even just be a thought before you start the dance, you know, because like you said, you're thinking about your counts, you're thinking about your movement.
Yeah.
But before you start it, you're like, okay, I'm being like a living sacrifice right now.
Yeah.
And that's my intention for this. Then the Lord will use that prayer, that desire of your heart.
I love that. I love that. Every combination you said is
every combination is a prayer.
Every combination is a prayer. That's amazing. I love that. So last question here, then we'll wrap this up. For you, connecting with the Lord, yes, in dance, we talked about that a little bit. But in your life in general, you know, you're married, you're busy, you're teaching, you're in a company, kind of just walk me through a bit of what your life with the Lord kind of looks like on a daily basis.
Yeah, it's difficult. It takes a lot of taking steps when you're tired and don't want to. And only the getting started is difficult. The rest of it is Holy Spirit works. But
You said only getting started is difficult.
Yeah, once you're in it, I find for me that like when I take the first step, the Lord's like, okay, I'm here. I'm going to use that. It's like really fast. Like I'm going to, you know, give you the joy. And and so it's like once I sit down with my Bible, the rest is good. But that first step is hard. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of spiritual warfare of like, you just go to bed, you're tired, you know, watch your show, whatever. And that's something I'm still trying to grow in. But I found that like little routines help a lot. There's a really great podcast that I would recommend. It's called Common Prayer Daily. And it just goes through different scriptures every day and just has this liturgical prayer that you can follow along. So it'll say the same thing.
I heard about this recently.
It's great. I would highly recommend it. It's, it's like the exact length of my commute every day. So I'll just listen to that and it'll give you like a moment of silence where it's like, use this time to pray for others. You know, you can pause or you can just let the music play.
What's
use this time
called?
To repent of sins. It's just a podcast called Common Prayer Daily.
Common Prayer Daily.
Yep. It's every single day.
Wow.
And that's been an amazing tool. Yeah. Dedicating what I do to the Lord before I do it. Just that small piece of communion of like, okay, this is the task I'm entering into. Would you just come be a part of it? Mm. Bless it. Guide me. Show me what to do. I feel like the little pockets of worship and finding time to adore the person of Jesus in the small moments has been really impactful. Even on the days where you can't sit down with your Bible and journal for an hour and a half and do this in-depth study, like he does meet you in those brief little moments too.
I love that. I love that. So if people want to connect with you, how could they do that best?
So my Instagram is probably the easiest way. It's at Brie Renee, B-R-I-R-E-N-E-E underscore on Instagram. Brianna Collins on Facebook. Feel free to drop me a message.
And then Greenleaf, again, variety of opportunities for lessons in music, instruments, dance, theater.
Totally.
The whole nine yards.
Yeah, so that website is greenleafstudio.org. You'll be able to find all our contact info on there if you want to shoot us a direct email with what you're looking for. We have an exciting original adult musical coming up this summer. Oh. If there's any adult actors who want to participate.
What's it called?
Check it out. Sense and Sensibility. Not an original story.
Okay.
But original musical. So
I've also been known to act as well as dance. So maybe I'll dance and act in that as well.
Get in there.
Just kidding.
Greenleafstudio.org.
Greenleafstudio.org. Okay. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for taking your time and chatting with us. If you guys are a regular listener to the show, would so appreciate if you liked this on the platform that you're listening on. Feel free to send us a message, give us feedback on what you're liking here. And we will see you guys again soon.